Good morning, everyone. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and for your love towards us. Thank you for your book, the Bible, a bright light in a dark place. And we thank you that we can open this book again this morning, and we pray for your guidance and help so we can understand what you want us to understand, and we are able to put it into practice for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. The passage, as you have gathered, is 2 Timothy 2, 14 to 19. And I feel it's about a particular passage, about a particular problem. I'm sure some of you feel that the challenges you have to face are sometimes too much for you. If you think of the difficult people you have to deal with, difficult circumstances, in God's book there is some very helpful advice for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus. I try to summarize it in the following way. Keep on doing your best while relying on God's solid foundation. I believe that is what we can learn from this passage if we read it in its context. Timothy, the letter was written to Timothy, was facing challenges that he apparently felt were too much for him. And the Apostle Paul, that foundational, divinely commissioned authority of Christianity, told his young co-worker how he could and should face these challenges. And what Paul told Timothy then was meant to be part of God's book, the Bible, for the benefit of future generations, including ours today. What Paul and told Timothy is something useful for you and me to learn from, because it's part of Scripture, which is God-breathed. That is, though written by human beings, it ultimately comes from God's own mouth. It's his word, and therefore it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the one who belongs to God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, as we read in 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17, where we are told what Scripture in general is like. The basic lesson our passage teaches us Christians today is you may feel that the challenges you have to face are too much for you, but don't be discouraged. Don't shrink back. Keep on doing your best while relying on God's solid foundation. Let me read the passage to you again. 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 to 19. Keep reminding them, that is the reliable men Timothy was to train as Bible teachers in the church. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth, They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroyed a faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So let's briefly look at the challenges that Timothy had to face, and what the Apostle Paul, the Lord's special messenger, told him how he could and should face these challenges that he apparently felt were too much for him. You remember, the Apostle Paul is that foundational, divinely commissioned authority of Christianity. He expects to be executed in this situation before too long. He has finished his race, as he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Before his departure, he wants to make sure his younger co-worker, Timothy, would continue to fervently do everything that God has called him to do, and to come to him soon. God has given Timothy quite a calling. Let's review it a bit. He was to do the work of an evangelist, and that's much more than we might imagine. He was called to preach and teach, and in this context, guard the authentic gospel, that uniquely good message about Jesus, God the Son, who saves people from their self-destructive anti-God allergy and calls them into a wholesome life in tune with God. Not because of anything we have done as human beings, but because of his own purpose and grace. Verse 9 in chapter 1. A grace that was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a beautiful calling, if you really take that in. But it was not simply beautiful, it was very challenging indeed, as he dealt with outsiders of Christian circles, but also insiders of Christian circles. Many outsiders didn't welcome at all the good message Timothy was called to stand for. That talk about Jesus saving people by undergoing execution as a criminal was repulsive to many outsiders, ridiculous in the light of then current trends, the testimony that he rose from the dead physically. People generally didn't want to be associated with the gospel, also because its leading proponent, that Paul of Tarsus, was after all a criminal awaiting execution. Clearly, Timothy wasn't in for an easy time dealing with outsiders of Christian circles. They would certainly oppose and quite likely actively persecute him, specifically those who preferred their self-destructive anti-God lifestyle to turning to a crucified God for salvation, something which is so typical of the terrible times of the present age, as Paul characterizes them in 2 Timothy 3 verses 2 following. There will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Timothy actually, if you remember, ended up in prison, like Paul, though later he was released, as we read it in Hebrews 13:23. So Timothy's calling was challenging indeed, as he dealt with outsiders. And it may well be that he sometimes felt it was too much for him. He certainly needed encouraging advice. But dealing with insiders of Christian circles was challenging too. Perhaps in some ways even more so. As a gospel agent, literally an evangelist, he was called to guard the authentic gospel, preaching and teaching it. And specifically, he was to entrust it to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And this wasn't easy at all. People present in Christian circles, hearing his preaching, would not put up with the authentic gospel, literally sound doctrine, gathering around them teachers to say what their itching ears wanted to hear. And when training reliable men as teachers of the authentic gospel, his work could be threatened by those twisting the truth in one way or another, as we shall see shortly. What challenging prospects to timid young Timothy. He must sometimes have felt that these challenges were too much for him. The work God called Timothy to do was not only beautiful, but also very challenging as he dealt with outsiders and insiders of Christian circles. And he certainly needed encouraging advice. And encouraging advice he was given. Keep on doing your best, Timothy, while relying on God's solid foundation. We shall be looking at that a bit more carefully in a few moments. But what about you and me? Do we sometimes feel that the challenges we have to face are too much for us? Thinking of those difficult people we have to deal with, or the difficult situations that don't seem to change. We want them to change, but they don't. Of course, not every believer in the Lord Jesus has the same concrete calling as Timothy. Though most principles applicable to Timothy's calling equally apply to ours. Whether you think of what God called you to be and to do as a husband, wife, parent, child, as a single person, at home, at work, in a lab, at school, university or church. Principles applicable to every kind of calling are given to us in the Bible in many places. And one of them, I quoted, I think, earlier this year, Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. But I would like to add another passage that has helped me through the decades of my life. I discovered it at a fairly early age. And it's a passage found in Luke 1:17-74-75. You remember Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist? He prophesied about the time of the Messiah to begin shortly. The Messiah, it says, was to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him, or as we could also translate it, in his presence. Serve in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. What a beautiful calling, isn't it? The Messiah Jesus Christ has rescued me from the hand of my enemies, from that inborn anti-God allergy, from the power of evil, from eternal separation from God, to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, in his presence, as long as I live. Wherever I am, whatever I do, in line with his will. Such a calling, whatever it is we are called to be and to do in concrete terms, beautiful beyond compare as it is, can also be quite challenging. Very challenging indeed. And sometimes we might feel, possibly even now, that the challenges we have to face are too much for us, thinking of those difficult people and difficult circumstances that don't want to change. And like Timothy, we need encouraging advice. As I said before, the advice he was given by God's spokesman, Paul, in our passage, in short, is keep on doing your best while relying on God's foundation. So let's look at this advice in some more detail. Before we do so, let me briefly remind us of some facts that are presupposed in this passage. Facts that were highlighted in previous sermons on this letter. These facts are the basis for the advice. And because of them, the advice is meaningful and encouraging indeed. And facts of this kind must be a reality in your life and mine for the advice of this passage to be meaningful and encouraging to us. What facts do I mean? One, we read in chapter 1, verse 6, Timothy's faith was sincere. Timothy's faith was sincere. So must be yours and mine. Only pretending will bring us nowhere. Secondly, what Timothy did was what God called him to do and enabled him to do. Verse 6 in chapter 1. What you and I do must be in line with God's will. Must be in line with God's will. Otherwise, we're bound to fail sooner or later. Of course, the questions I would like to ask, do you sincerely believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is your Christian faith sincere? If not, you're invited to do something about it. God's book says, he, the Lord Jesus, came to what was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Or another question is, what you do in line with God's will? Or do you tolerate habits that he hates? If so, it is time to do something about it. Confess it and put it right, perhaps with the help of a counselor. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The third fact that is presupposed in this advice, What Timothy did, called by God, he did with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us as sincere believers. Verse 14 in chapter 1, also verse 7, or its equivalent. I think these are different words, but they mean the same thing. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus, chapter 2, verse 1. So what we do, we can do with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, as we read his word and pray, doing things independently of him, we are bound to fail sooner or later. So these three facts are presupposed: sincere faith, doing things in line with God's will, and doing things in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So if these facts are a reality, we can take in this advice: keep on doing your best while relying on God's solid foundation. Let's look at this advice a bit more carefully. I said that it is a summary, in my opinion, of verses 14 to 19, and keep on doing your best is a summary of the verses 14 to 18. In these verses, Timothy is basically given three directives regarding the way he should train reliable teachers of the authentic gospel, a very challenging task indeed. Directive one, keep on telling them what is valuable and truly helpful. Verse 14, keep reminding them of these things, it says. What things? Things that were mentioned before. The facts about the authentic Christ, about how to benefit from him, from Jesus, the promised Messiah, risen from the dead. The message about whom cannot be stopped in spite of all the attempts to stop it. Those chosen by the absolutely faithful God will be saved and be brought into his glorious presence. Few points of what he said before in this chapter. Connected with this, Timothy was to warn them before God against quarreling about words. He said, it's of no value, only ruins those who listen. Many engaged in learning and teaching then and now love to go into the details of words, vocabulary, terminology, fine distinctions. And often, that's a problem, often they don't care a little about the realities that the words stand for. Words, but no reality. They want to get the words straight. They don't care about the reality behind them. When it comes to the authentic gospel, the realities referred to are definitely most important. The ways in which they are expressed are not unimportant, but of secondary importance. Quarreling about words, as it is mentioned here, reverses these priorities. What is secondary becomes primary. And after all, you remember Paul's statement, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So not just words, but about reality. It is a bit like regarding the elements of communion as more important than the Lord who gave his life to save us. Some people get so upset about the details of the elements and so forth, how they're being served this way or that way, and they don't care too much about the Lord who is to be remembered. The apostle's view on that is clear. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So whatever the challenges Timothy had to face training reliable men as teachers of the authentic gospel, God's directive through the apostle Paul was keep on telling them what is valuable and truly helpful. Timothy was told to do so because that was his calling. How does this apply to you and me? Timothy was told to keep on acting as his calling required. We may not be called, first of all, to tell people what is valuable and helpful. That may not be in the foreground in our situation. But you and I are here to told by God to keep on acting in a way that is valuable and truly helpful as a husband, wife, parent, child, single person, at home, at work, in the lab, at school, university, or church. That was directive number one. Keep on doing your best. Directive number two. Interesting and important. Directive number two goes beyond telling, talking about what is valuable and truly helpful. Timothy is to be the kind of person God wants him to be. And this directive is introduced by the expression that to me seems to determine the whole of our passage. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Timothy is told to regularly and consistently live a life that is in line with God's will. A life that is not so much after people's acclaim, but God's approval. He is to be the kind of person God wants him to be, like a reliable worker who has nothing to fear when his boss suddenly enters the room. You know that situation, yeah? Wasting your time, suddenly the boss enters the room. So we must not be a worker who has to be ashamed if the boss suddenly enters the room. And our boss will come and enter the room before too long. Timothy was not just to tell others to do so, but he had to do it himself. So easy to tell others what to do. True to his specific calling, he was to be an example, particularly in his handling of God's word. The second directive is applicable to you and me without much difficulty. You and I, too, are told to do our best to regularly and consistently live a life that is in line with God's will, a life that is not so much after people's acclaim, but God's approval. He wants you and me to be the kind of person he wants us to be as husband, wife, parent, child, single person, at home, at work, and so forth. And this includes, of course, a concern to handle God's word correctly, the way he means it. Treat the Bible the way it is meant to be and not so much how we feel about it. I feel it says this to me or that to me, but the important thing is, what does he mean to tell me? That was directive two of the advice given in our passage. Keep on doing your best. Directive three is not so much about what to do and what to be, but about avoiding what is directed against it. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroyed the faith of some. I don't know how you experience things, but I've observed that quite often, that godless chatter can easily pop up in Christian circles. Religious talk that is based on feelings, impressions, experiences, on trends, rather than in God's revealed truth, accessible in his book, the Bible. In such godless chatter, there may be reference to Bible passages, but often only selectively, to support one's preconceived ideas rather than to all that God wants us to know, or as we read it in some versions in Acts 20:27, the whole counsel, purpose, will, plan of God. Those indulging in such godless chatter may appear to be religious, Christians, theologians even, but they don't take God seriously, nor take his word seriously. Paul mentions contemporary examples. I won't do it for our time. Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth, the authentic gospel, they say that the resurrection had already taken place. They presumably followed the then current trends in rejecting the idea of a physical resurrection. And in this view, only the soul had a future, the body being only a prison to be freed from at death. And in order to support this preconceived theory, they may have referred to Paul's teaching that Christians through faith in the power of God have been raised, as it is symbolized in baptism, which is of course true, but not the whole counsel of God. They refuse to consider the whole counsel of God taught by Paul, that very much included a future physical resurrection. What such people do is poisonous, destroying the faith of some. It's not the fashionable way of putting things, is it? In our time when everything goes. But that's the truth of God's word. Timothy, as one called to guard the authentic gospel, was told to avoid it, and of course to tell his trainees to avoid it. How does this apply to you and me? It does not mean, of course, we should avoid talking to non-Christians. In fact, we are told in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. But we should avoid voices that are manifestly directed against what we know we should do and be in line with God's will. If we're not quite sure how to go about it in particular situations, we do well to ask the Lord for clarity and read and reread what the Bible says, consulting also trusted Bible study Bible commentary or a relevant book, and not least to ask our pastor, the Timothys of our day. So, in these verses 14 to 18, Timothy, as well as you, are told to keep on doing our best by acting in a way that is valuable and truly helpful in the tasks he has helped us, he has called us to. Secondly, by being the kind of person God wants us to be. And thirdly, by avoiding whatever voices are directed against what we know we should do and be in line with God's will. If we think about the exhortation that I just spelled out, keep on doing your best, that could easily make us more uneasy and frustrated in view of our challenges. But we are not left in a vacuum. There is a foundation we can rely on, God's foundation, his word, his plan that will not fail, but is perfectly accomplished at the proper time. And Timothy, you and I are told to keep on doing our best in the face of daunting challenges, relying on that foundation. We are included in that plan of God's. What we are to do and to be in line with his will, and what we are to avoid as well, as all of this is based on this foundation. Hearing and putting into practice God's word in Jesus Christ, his Son, means, as we have read in the passage of Matthew, building on this foundation that will never be destroyed. Whatever storm in life or at the final judgment will come, it will not lead to a collapse. Verse 19a says, nevertheless, in spite of all the challenges, including the godless chatter of false teachers, God's solid foundation stands firm. Now this foundation we can absolutely rely on in our commitment to keep on doing our best. We are told in our passage that this foundation is sealed with an inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. It's an indelible inscription, and it makes clear certain truths that we must never forget. First, the Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows who really belongs to him. Whatever principles of inclusion and exclusion may be passed around, God is the one choosing and saving people who believe in his Son as their Lord. And he knows exactly who belongs to that number. And then, of course, the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are his. Then the other truth made clear by this indelible inscription is this: everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. I think there are two points we can gather from that. One, it's a criterion for telling true from false teachers. An important distinguishing mark of a true Christian, especially a true Christian teacher, is his or her determination to turn away from sin, to act and be more and more in line with God's will. And the other point, it is a reminder of what is at the heart of becoming a Christian. One who is truly saved by God's grace cannot help being committed to turning away from whatever his wonderful Savior dislikes. What a beautiful calling to serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness in the presence of the living God as long as we live, whatever we are, whatever we do, in line with his will. There are challenges, but God's word gives us this encouraging advice: keep on doing your best and rely on God's solid foundation. May we follow that advice and we will be blessed. Amen. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your advice and for all that you provide alongside it. We praise you for the beautiful calling that you've given us, and help each and everyone here not to give up not to give in to the voices that would want to draw us away from you, but help us all to keep on doing our best, relying on your solid foundation. In the name of Jesus, amen.